Don't make excuses. You just need to educate yourself, get the tool in the toolbox, because there's a lot of different strategies. And once you learn the strategies, you couple it with what you're trying to accomplish, and that's how you start.
CEOs often feel stuck in the grind of scaling their business and feel like they're missing out on the best parts of life, like family, friends, or travel. On this podcast, CEOs come to take themselves and their companies to the next level. Let's dive into the Millionaire Mind with your host, Dallin Schultz.
Hey folks, just wanted to add a quick little disclaimer. We do have a little bit of audio glitching in this episode, and just want to let you know that our team works really, really hard to provide a quality product. But at the end of the day, sometimes there's technical issues and we did our best to improve it. But just so you know, you are going to hear a little bit of that through this episode. I promise you, it's not going to disrupt the message and you're still going to find a tremendous amount of value. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting us and enjoy the episode. Hey, welcome back to another Millionaire Mind episode where I have some of the most successful business owners sharing what motivates them to get out of bed every morning and how they elevate themselves and their companies to the next level. Look, I'm a huge advocate for learning and education. And sometimes that comes in the form of college and degrees, and other times it comes in private coaching and mentorship. And personally, I've spent well over $100,000 not in your traditional school setting, and it has paid dividends. And our guest today has impacted hundreds of students outside of the traditional college setting. And today you're going to get some insights into his journey and how he's been able to really impact so many people. So really special welcome to our guest, Gino. Gino, thank you for joining us today.
Dallin, thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it. How you doing?
Good, good, good. So really looking forward to this interview. And Gino, it was events like yours that really changed my life. So I'm really excited to just have a conversation of your life, your journey. And so one of our listeners can resonate with it and hopefully take action in their life to get to that next level. So, Gino, take a couple minutes and just share with our listener a little bit about who you are and what you do.
If I only have a couple minutes, I'm going to really shorten this down because I've got a lot to talk about on the show. I'm a father of six kids. We homeschool our children. That's probably the most important thing I identify as a dad. That's really important. That's something that I want to be a role model for other dads. I think having family is the foundation for everything for me. Everything that I do is based upon my family. When I got out of college back in 94, which was a long time ago, went to work in corporate for a year, I hated it. Quickly got out. My father had owned a restaurant for years, and I ended up opening a restaurant with the family. And it was great for about 15 years until it wasn't. In 2007, the Great Recession comes. I had done a couple of real estate deals and I just didn't do really well in them, to be completely honest with you. I had done a mobile home park. I had done a strip center. My actual very first deal with Triplex back in 2002 was the beginner's luck. But I realized that I wanted to do apartments. And I, to the top of the show, you're talking about education. I went and joined a couple of mentorship groups back in 2008. I really learned the apartment space. I really learned how to invest in apartments. I met Jake in 2009. He is what I call the pharmaceutical rep. I was the pizza guy. We partnered up in 2011. We met through the restaurant. And in 2011, Jake moved down to Knoxville and we started looking for properties. And from there, it took us 18 months to find our very first deal. So I like to break down my investing journey of life before Jake and life after Jake. And Dallin, life before Jake, Gino was all over the place. Gino had no focus. I was investing in different real estate niches. I was scattered. I had no map. I had no process. What I learned with Jake throughout that, and in 2008, when I read the book by T. Harv Eker that changed my mind, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, that book changed everything for me because all of a sudden, it's my fault. I can't blame anybody else. And T. Harv says, your fruits are in your roots. Well, if you're not producing, you don't like where you are today, well, what have you done? What actions have you taken to have gotten you there today? Well, I look back and I said, well, I haven't been taking the right actions because there are people out there making millions of dollars during the Great Recession. I'm not one of them. What are they doing? What am I not doing? So when I met Jake, I was inspired to do multifamily. He was a great partner. We had great values. We really aligned and we decided let's go all in on multifamily.
Love it. And multifamily, that's, you know, that's my passion. That's what our team focuses on. And I love what you were talking about there with T. Harv Eker. And that book is incredible. And in fact, one of our guests just last week, that was their book recommendation at the end of our show. So definitely a quality book. And I was attending a conference similar to what you guys put on, and the host said something that struck a chord with me. He said, "You are exactly financially, you are exactly where you deserve to be based on the decisions you made up to this point." And I was like, whoa, like that was some extreme accountability that I had to internalize at that moment. And this was at the point in my life where I was already open to change and looking for that change. And it sounds like you experienced a similar process and mindset shift back in 2008, 2009, when you connected with your current business partner, Jake. So
I did. And what you experienced was a level of awareness that most people don't have. And they don't understand their psychology of money, which is another great book. They don't understand the relationship they have with money. What they experience is, hey, I made a few bucks. I want to feel good. How do I feel good? I go out and spend money. That's their dopamine. That's their psychology of money. Whereas for me, I was raised as an immigrant. I had more of a scarcity mindset. Whereas I got a dollar, I would save 50 cents of that dollar. And I would feel bad when I had to spend it. So that was, and it led me to be able to save money for deals and be able to invest money in deals. And that's how I created massive net worth. But at the same time, at times, I feel guilty about spending money when I should be enjoying it. So read the book, The Psychology of Money. Your goal when you're creating a business is you should try to create a business that you can gain some type of autonomy from that business or from whatever life you have. Once you become financially free, you'll understand that you're not chasing money. You're chasing opportunity. And the more opportunity you have and the more results you have, the more money will show up. That's what it is. You got a gut check. You got punched in the gut. I got punched in the gut when I read the T. Harv Eker book. I thought he was talking to me. I'm like, you don't know me. But then I stopped and I reflected and he's right. You know, he is right. I've been doing $10 an hour work. I've been hiding in the kitchen all these years. How many of you listening to this are hiding right now? It's okay. But once you understand that that's what you're doing, that's when you can become responsible and start taking action. And it really comes with self-love. If you really don't like yourself and you don't understand that money is just a game, money is neutral. Money is a tool. That's all it is. And if you understand that and there are rules to the game of money, if you know the rules to football, you can play football. If you're playing football with a hockey stick, it ain't going to work. It's the same thing with money. There are certain rules to generating wealth and to creating income. And if you don't follow those rules, you will not become wealthy. And I think the book is so powerful, reading that psychology of money. It doesn't talk about strategies. It doesn't talk about techniques. It talks about what is your default when you get money. How do you feel? What's the energy behind it when you are receiving that money? Like I said, for me, I was a good saver. I could say if you can't save money, you will never be able to become financially free. You will never be able to create wealth because if $1 in, $1 out, it's very hard to create wealth that way.
To our listener, you could see how passionate Gino is about this topic. And here's the thing, it's because this stuff isn't talked about in mainstream education. And so when I say I'm a very strong advocate of learning and education, this is the type of stuff that you will get much, much deeper than you would in possibly a traditional school setting. So,
Alan, can I add one thing to that? Because I think when you say education, to me, I heard one of my mentors say education is a change in behavior. The problem is kids go to college, they think they get educated. They're really getting indoctrinated, right? They're not really learning anything. They're not learning any behavioral changes. And the word commencement speech, when you graduate college, that's actually when you begin your learning. Whereas most college students at the end of 4 years, they think they're done and they put their books away. You have to be a lifelong learner. And whenever you're educating yourself, we say education times action equals results. I want to add another word in there. Education times implementation. Knowledge is not power. There is knowledge everywhere. You have more information on your cell phone right now than the president of the United States did back in the 1980s. That's a fact. So all the knowledge there is not going to give you power if you don't know how to distill that knowledge, take action upon it, and implement that knowledge. It's useless. And that's why these education programs, the Jake and Gino community, the community that you join, they're going to educate you, but hopefully they're going to teach you how to implement that. Well, how do you buy your first deal? Well, this is what you need to do. You need to call brokers, you need to underwrite deals. How do I do that? Well, let me show you because I've done it. That's the difference between sitting on the sidelines by yourself and going and finding somebody who's already done it before. So don't be afraid of the word education. Education is lifelong. You're going to constantly be skilling yourself up. When you think you're done, you've grown into that person, you've hit a wall, a ceiling. Well, that's the next iteration of yourself, and you're going to continue to grow. Because if you aren't growing, unfortunately, you're either growing or you're regressing. So you're regressing. So it's your challenge. And that's why people feel stuck. They feel lost. There's a lot of mental illness out there because they have nothing to live for. They're just sitting around. They're bored. They're not inspired. And they have nothing really to plan for. So go out there and find something that lights you up. Find out something that's your sole purpose and start working towards that.
I love what you said. If you're not progressing, you're regressing. And as far as learning goes, it's the same concept, same idea for business. Your business, like, you don't get to a certain point and then your business has made it. You're going to get your business to that next level. And guess what? There's new challenges, new headaches, new problems that you're going to have to learn to address. But as you overcome that as a business owner, you continue to learn. And it's through that action. It's through that implementation. Mm-hmm. So incredible stuff. You know, we're definitely going to get more into this, obviously, throughout our conversation. But let's take it back now. You said you worked in a pizza shop and now you're a multimillionaire owning real estate and teaching others how to do it. What an incredible journey. So when did all this really begin for you, that this entrepreneurship journey?
I was fortunate to have two parents that were immigrants from Italy, and they wanted to own a business. And they did own a business back in the 70s and 80s. Believe it or not, Dallin, if you owned a small pizza shop or a small business owner, you could have a really amazing living. I mean, my father had a restaurant back in the 80s. He had four partners, and we lived the middle class dream. I remember the Eldorados. I remember the vacations. Well, things started changing in the 90s and the 2000s. Things got to be expensive. All of a sudden, healthcare starts popping up. All of a sudden, you have all these state unemployment taxes and workman's comp and insurance and all these property taxes and insurance bills. And things got to be a little bit more challenging, as they say. And for me, I remember when I bought the restaurant, my mom owned the building and she had three apartments upstairs. And I was paying rent to her for the restaurant. And it was a Friday night and in New York, about 7 p.m., we had about 6 inches of snow on the ground. And I remember being on the parking lot, throwing salt and shoveling the driveway. There was nobody. It was like a ghost town. It was freezing. I didn't have any gloves on. And I look up and one of the windows had a light on, and it dawned on me. My mom is at home getting paid right now because that rent's due every month. But I'm out here shoveling snow, and this week I'm not getting paid. So I'm saying to myself, an apartment owner is making money in her sleep while I'm actually out here working and not getting paid. And that for me just switched the whole paradigm, because people are saying you need money to make money. You know, that may be true. But once you understand the power of real estate and you understand the power of other people's money and the power of other people's time, that's how you start to build a business. And once I saw that and I sat out in that parking lot freezing my ass off, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start looking at real estate more seriously.
And how old were you when you had this paradigm shift?
For me, I was 32, 33 years old. And from there, life or Jake, I started going into different facets of real estate, started making those huge mistakes. You had mentioned education. I didn't take education. I took massive action without the education. I had no idea what buy right, manage right, and finance right were. I was just winging it like most new investors. I don't want to call them newbies because that sounds a little condescending, because we want newbie investors. We are all new. We all start out new. And it just depends upon if you hear enough people out there telling you real estate's risky. Yeah, it's risky for people like Gino who don't know what the hell he's doing. But if you go out there, you get educated, it's not as risky as you think it is. And take a step back and really understand who is telling you it's risky. It's usually people who have never invested in real estate that tell you it's risky. And the
or they did irony, one deal and they got burned on it.
Yes. And the irony, I'll finish with this, is do a couple of deals and then they'll see you're a little successful. They will come to you and say, Dallin, you got any deals for me? I'd love to invest with you. But you just told me 2 years ago it was risky. Well, now it's not risky anymore. It's amazing the shift that they have once they see you doing it. So stick with it. Understand that education is paramount. There's shift between taking education and then taking that action. But you really need to understand what you're doing in that niche. Spend a few months to really educate yourself. And then at some point, there's an accountability piece that you need to have somebody push you over that ledge and jump into the deep end of the swimming pool.
Well said. And I share this with people all the time that risk is directly proportionate to your experience in education. When somebody says, hey, this is risky, it's them not willingly admitting that they don't know what they're talking about. So they just say it's risky. Either they heard it from someone, or maybe they did do a deal, or they did one thing and they got burned and they said, hey, nope, never again. For me, I don't understand crypto. I don't. My mind doesn't work that way. My mind is works in tangible investments like real estate. That's why I really appreciate real estate. So for me, crypto is risky for me, but I will tell you it's because I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't comprehend it. And so I appreciate you sharing that. And you said something earlier, Gino, that there's this fallacy out there, that there's this mindset that people tell themselves because they've heard it. It's probably been passed down from generation to generation. You got to have money to make money. I believe that for years until I got my first real estate deal without any of my own money.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea, I just blew the roof off of that limiting mindset and belief. And I was like, holy crap, you don't have to have money to make money. I found the deal and I found somebody who had the money. I connected them and I got a piece of the pie because of it. And once I experienced that on my very first real estate deal, my life changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what so many people need to figure out. And look, maybe it's not real estate for some of our listeners. Maybe it's some other business venture, but these same principles and concepts apply to any business.
Mm-hmm. I would say, Dallin, let's go back a few seconds because you said something about risk. I'm here to tell everybody there is risk in everything. BlackRock has just laid off 10% of their workforce. BlackRock, okay? Meta and all these companies, tech has laid off hundreds of thousands of people. So don't tell me there's no risk. Remember the pizza guy up in New York? Well, I left in 2016. We sold the restaurant and it closed in February of 2020. Well, what happened in March of 2020? COVID came. COVID would have wiped me out. So don't tell me small business owners, your own business, W-2 employee, real estate. There's all a modicum of risk. What I like about what Jake and I do is we can control it. We have an asset that is tangible. It's a basic human need, food, clothing, and apartments. It's something that is in demand, right? The demographics are showing that homeownership is at a low. Where we're investing in an area where it's growing, right? And we're treating it as a business with the tax benefits that are great. We have our residents paying down our mortgages. We have appreciation. We have cycle resiliency because now as the economy softens, people still need a place to live. So there's so many benefits to what this business has as opposed to what my business had. I think you just go out there, you choose it. And hey, by the way, if you like crypto, I see nothing wrong with it. Become an expert in it. Just understand there is not, to me, it's more of a speculative play because you're buying something at some price, hoping it goes up to a different price. Whereas in multifamily, I'm also looking for that exit, whether it's a refi or a sale, but I'm also getting a cash flow or a dividend monthly. That's the difference. I want to yield through my investment on top of that appreciation. So, hey, listen, there's all vehicles out there. I'm going to be partial. Multifamily is one of the best vehicles that you can invest in.
I agree. We're in good company here. And listen, Gino made a really good point. There is literally risk in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And at some point in your life, after you've been laid off so many times, after you've gotten fired, after things didn't work out as planned, at some point, you're going to realize, you know what, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And if there's going to be risk in whatever I'm doing, I want to be personally responsible for it, for my outcome. And I think that's a big shift that happens with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs is either they get burned or they have some major life-altering event or mindset shift and they decide like, hey, life's hard either way. There's risk. It's hard. Pick your hard. Choose your risk. And at some point, they said, you know what? I'm going to bet on me this time.
Yes.
Because I've tried betting on these other people. I've tried betting on these other companies, big corporations that you think are financially sound. You just shared with us some of the statistics. Some of the biggest companies we've heard are still laying people off.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, it's up to you to take your future, your financial future, your well-being into your own hands. And that's a level of extreme ownership that I don't think a lot of us are taught.
Yes. Let me share with the listeners how I think they can get an understanding, how they can start adopting this. And I'm going to ask a simple question, and I'm even let you answer it. Do you wish you would have started investing in real estate 5 years ago if you hadn't? I mean, I think anybody listening to this call right now would say, yeah, I wish I had started 5 years ago, but things were different and things weren't different. Back in 2019, the real estate market was hot. 2020, COVID came. We can always make excuses. We had Rene Rodriguez on our podcast from the Amplify podcast, and he shared a story that it was Jim Rome mentioned this story. And picture yourself in a boat with no motor, no oars. You're 100 feet from Niagara Falls. What's that called? That's called you're screwed. There's nothing you can do. But the real tragedy in that story is, what if I had told you, what if somebody had told you 5 years ago, hey, Niagara Falls is up ahead. Get the motor, get the oars, get your financial future in order. You have the ability now. You've got time to do it. Don't waste time. Don't wait for the right time, because it's never the right time. I've got 6 children. It was never the right time to have a kid. It just never was. The next one popped up. Oh, it's not the right time now. I've got this going on. It's never the right time to do another deal. I don't have the money. Life is not going to line itself up. Life's not going to wait for you. We're already in the third week of this month, and it was just the new year. It's going to go by you so quickly. So don't wait for the falls to appear. You have the opportunity now to start taking action now. So by the end of the year, you'll know the business. You may not have gotten a deal. It took Jake and I 18 months. But maybe by March of 2025, you have your first deal. And by July of 2025, you have your second deal. And by the end of 2025, you may have 50 or 60 units. That's life-changing. It doesn't seem as if it is, but you're on the path. But remember, you're in the boat, no motor, no oars right now. What do you do? Now's the time to take action.
And there's this compounding effect that happens when you're consistent with your focus and with your vision. And I'd say 98% of the people that I talk to that start in real estate often start small. But you look at what they've done over 5, 10, 15 years, and it just compounds year after year after year. Real estate is, in my opinion, is not a get rich quick. It's a get rich for sure. And another thing that I share with people in regards to real estate is, don't wait to buy real estate. Buy real estate and wait. To your point, there's always going to be a reason not to do it. You can talk yourself. Our minds are incredible. We could talk ourselves out of anything, and just as much talk ourselves into just about anything. So really take that time, like, to look inside internally to how are you viewing situations? How are you viewing the world? And maybe there's some internal work that needs to get done that you need to work on. So, well, listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Gino, I want to get into this transition from So you shared with us how you're outside, you had this revelation of real estate. You saw the light on, you said, that's what I want to be doing. So when we come back from our commercial break, let's talk about what choices you made immediately after that just paid dividends years moving forward. So we'll get into that after this quick break. Hey folks, I got my good friend Julie Holly here to share with you something exciting she has coming up here in a few weeks that I myself will be participating in. And I was actually able to talk my wife into joining me as well. So super excited for it coming up. But Julie, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your event you have coming up.
Awesome. The Conscious Investor Growth Summit is coming up, and it is really the charcuterie of all events. Instead of drilling down into one isolated topic or asset class like self-storage, multifamily, crypto, you know, whatever, mindset, health, we're wrapping it all in one. And this is a powerful opportunity for you to like just nourish and replenish. And to Dallin's point, bring your spouse, bring your partner along. We're talking about everything from tax strategies, building credit, buying businesses, investing in assisted living facilities and other real estate, to gut health and having our health as our wealth, being hyper-focused, making mental breakthroughs. It's really that place. It's the refueling station. And what is best? It's in the gorgeous Coeur d'Alene, Idaho at the resort right there on the lake. So you break free from the hustle of the metro areas so you can enjoy nature, walk on the beach because it's right there at the door, or take a trail run. So you're really able to break free and renew yourself completely.
Definitely looking forward to it. So folks, go to consciousinvestorgrowthsummit.com. Check it out. You'll see what we're talking about. And Julie has some incredible discounts going on for our community. So if you use my first name, Dallon, D-A-L-L-O-N, as a promo code, you'll see those incredible offers that she has for you. Awesome. Thanks, Julie. We look forward to seeing you in a few weeks, and we'll get back to our show. All right. Welcome back to Millionaire Mind. So Gino, share with our listener, What were some of those immediate actions you took after you had this paradigm shift, this mindset shift, when you were shoveling snow in the morning? And by the way, Gino now lives in Florida. I live in Phoenix. I grew up in upstate New York, right? We don't have to shovel sunshine in Florida or Arizona. So Gino and I bonded on that experience because we've both been there. So anyways, Gino, go ahead and share with our listener some of those immediate decisions you started making that led to this very fruitful partnership with Jake.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes personal growth. It takes a reason why you want to do it. I didn't want to live in New York anymore. I didn't want it to be 20 degrees during the day. And I said, how do I get out of this restaurant? And when I met Jake, the first thing that I did was, like I said, I joined those mentorships because I really needed to learn a business. I didn't know how to underwrite. I didn't know how to select the market accurately. I didn't know how to raise capital. I didn't know what a credibility book was. That was the first thing I learned. The second thing I did was take massive action. Once Jake went down, we started underwriting deals. We started acting as if we were multifamily investors. And that didn't come about until our third deal. On our third deal, I was out in the shed of my restaurant and I'm surrounded by bags of flour. I'm surrounded by pizza boxes and I've got my clipboard. And I'm doing the inventory. It's basically $10 an hour work I'm doing, but I've got my cell phone jammed to my ear. And I'm talking to Jake, and we're negotiating an $11 million seller finance deal. It's a 281 unit deal, $0 out of my pocket. And that's when it hit me. What am I doing $10 an hour work when I've got the deal of a lifetime here? And for me, that was the shift. I decided that I had to adopt the identity of the multifamily investor, drop this pizza guy identity and become the multifamily investor. And what does that mean? Well, what do you do when you invest in multifamily? What does that identity look like? Well, what it looks like is you're looking for deals. You're talking to investors. You're doing property tours. You're underwriting deals. You're putting in offers. You're closing deals. You're networking with brokers. If you don't identify as a multifamily investor, you're not going to do the tasks that need you to become one. I was hiding in the shed. I've used the word hiding a couple of times, and that's what I felt as if I was doing. I wasn't hiding in the kitchen this time. I was just hiding in the shed for that metaphor. But when I realized that, everything changed for me. My whole attitude changed for me. I said to myself, I'm all in here. When we closed that deal, 6 months later, I was able to leave the restaurant full time. And even at that point, I left the restaurant from Monday to Friday. I worked the real estate Monday to Friday full time with Jake. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I worked at the restaurant for about 6 months. I had my brother as a partner. I just didn't want to leave him. Another excuse, thinking that I had to stay there for him. Remember, we're all making ourselves excuses, right? I should have gotten out a lot sooner, but that was the excuse. But at least I gave him 6 months of a runway. You don't have to burn the bridges, literally. You should be able to burn them in your mind and saying there's no turning back. But I weaned myself off because I had six kids. I had a lot of expenses. I had a big family up in New York. I had the business running. I had to be responsible. But in my mind, when I decided that this was it, I need to become that multifamily investor and I need to really focus on it, everything for me changed, Alan.
That, what you went through, I think is very, very difficult for people to understand unless they themselves go through it. Those that are familiar with my story know that I come from a medical background. And like you, Gino, I was doing real estate and my full-time job for about 18 to 24 months together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to act as if I was a multifamily investor. And when I was talk to people, I would introduce myself as that. But a lot of people knew me as Dallin, the emergency room nurse, or Dallin, the cardiac nurse, right? And so what I realized is that I had a foot in two different worlds. And if I was really serious about this real estate thing, I had to prove it. Not to anyone else, right? That's part of it. That was secondary. I had to prove it to myself. And so when I decided to jump in with both feet, I did that because part of it, I realized I had to go through this massive rebranding personally. I had to show people, I had to show myself that this is truly what I wanted to do. And that's not hard, or that's not easy to do. It's extremely hard to rebrand yourself. And it's day in, day out, thinking and acting as if you're already this multifamily operator. And that might be hard for someone listening. They're like, well, I don't own anything yet. You don't have to, right? You shared some of those strategies. Start underwriting deals, start looking at deals, start talking to brokers, start going to conferences. You can do all that without having your first deal. Because even when you get your first deal, are you going to stop doing that?
No. And Dallin, you don't have to start with this 100 unit deal in your first deal. I already had a little credibility because we had the apartments from above the restaurant. I could always say, hey, I was managing for my mother. I had a triplex. I owned a couple of duplexes up in Rochester at the time. But that 25 unit property gave me all of the credibility because when Jake and I closed on that first deal, it was a 25 unit property. It was $600,000. 10% of the down payment was seller carryback. So we needed a total of $80,000 between me, Jake, and my brother, Mark. I remember sitting at the restaurant after I closed that deal. My future partner, Mike, who's been my partner since that first deal, walks in and he's a hedge fund trader, commodities trader. And I remember sitting down with him. I had my pizza shirt on. I had sauce stains on it. And he starts talking about the economy, gold and copper and commodities and oil and real estate. And I just rolled with the punches. And I said, hey, by the way, I've closed a 25 unit property. Mike, on the other hand, was buying single family homes up in Connecticut for $2 million. He was generating $10,000 a month in rent. My 25 unit property that I paid for $600,000 was generating $13,000 in rent. So to do the quick math, he's a numbers guy. He said, I want some of that. That's how simple it is. Just let people know what you're doing. Yeah. Don't wait. Yeah. If it's a triplex, a quad, it doesn't matter. Once you have a taste of it, and even if you don't, start creating some case studies on what you want your business to look like. If you have those case studies, you can present them to people, let them understand why, but you need to create an origin story. And Mike, my partner, understood why I wanted this so bad. He knew the hours that I worked. He knew that the business was very difficult. So he knew that I was all in and he understood our business plan. And from that person, like you said before, I wrote it down, it takes money to make money. I would not have been able to qualify for our third deal if Mike didn't have Mike's balance sheet. Mike was liquid. He had a balance sheet and he lent us $500,000 for the down payment for our third deal. Not my money. It's other people's money. But Mike understood after 18 months, we refinanced that deal. He got his $500,000 back plus a lot more. So you need to understand right now listening to this, where is your value? Who are you going to bring value to and how are you going to bring value? Because the Mikes of the world, they're real busy. They can't focus on day to day. They can't go out there, find these deals, work these deals, refi these deals. They're doing their jobs. There's John and Mary doctors. There are attorneys out there. They want to invest in real estate, but they can't. Give them the opportunity to invest with you. That's where you get the money. That's where you get your starting point. And then once you have enough of those, maybe you can start buying your own deals. We're fortunate that we only had to do 3 syndications because we took it slow. Up about to 800 units, we kept refinancing our properties, putting money back into the deals. Then we did our 3 syndications, and now we're selling that 3rd syndication. We went on a full cycle. And the last 5 years, we've just been doing deals with our own money. But there are so many different ways to get into this business. You don't need just to do money with your own deals with your own money. You can go out and co-general partner with somebody else. You can be a lead sponsor. You can start doing seller finance deals. You can start wholesaling deals. Don't make excuses. You just need to, like, once again, educate yourself, get the tool in the toolbox because there's a lot of different strategies. And once you learn the strategies, you couple it with what you're trying to accomplish. And that's how you start.
You know, you said earlier, a couple minutes ago, know your value. And one of the traps I've realized a lot of people fall into is when they hear the term value, immediately their mind goes to money. And they're like, oh, well, I don't have money, so I can't, there's nothing of value I could provide. That's bull crap. That's a load of crap. Like, value is so much more than just this idea of money, right? And you shared with us some of those examples. I shared an example. I didn't have money on my first deal. I found the deal and I found the money and I connected it. And that was the value that I was able to bring. So know your value, but just pretend money is not even a component, right? Put money aside. And if you're listening to this, ask yourself, what is my value? What value can I truly bring to someone? Maybe you don't have the money, but maybe you have the determination. Maybe you have the grit. Maybe you have the time. Maybe you have the flexibility. There's so much more in value that you can provide. So I think that was gold.
I'll give you 2 specific examples of people searching for value and providing value. My partner, Jake, he was boots on the ground on the very first few deals. He managed these properties himself. We created a property management company and he was a property manager. He was the boots on the ground. He didn't have money. He had to hit up grandma for $10,000 for that third deal. We paid him an acquisition fee for that third deal and he rolled it into equity. Now, why would somebody do that? Because it was such a great deal and he had put the deal together and he was working boots on the ground that he deserved that. We have a student named Daniel Tweedo. Big shout out to Daniel. Daniel's, I think, 32 or 33 years old. He's in the Dallas market. I think he was a windshield glass technician. That's what his business was. So he wasn't raking in the cash. His first deal was a 96-unit syndication. Soon after, he saw the pain points in multifamily. And the big pain point was property management. So what did Daniel do? Daniel started his own property management company and he started managing the deals. Now, all of a sudden, if you have a sponsor who has a deal in Dallas, they'll partner with Daniel. Daniel will say, I will manage this property for us. He's not making a ton of money on the property management, but he's getting a little equity on the general partner side and he can roll some of his money into the deal. And lo and behold, he's closed hundreds of units that way. That's the value that he found. Now, if you've got a great balance sheet, great. That's your value there. If you're really good at networking and talking to people and raising capital, great. That's your value there. If you know the business and can run the business and are a great asset manager, great. That's your value there. If you can find deals and really are a great financial wizard, great. That's your value there. Multifamily is a team sport. That's the great thing about this business. You're going to start out all by yourself. It was just Jake and Gino till about 100 units. Then Jake and Gino, I'ma do this, I'ma do that. I'ma gets burned out real quick. You can't cut the grass on 100 units. You're going to have to start hiring property managers, maintenance techs. You're going to start leaning on your team more. That's the goal with multifamily. It's an entrepreneurial venture. We say it, Jake, and you know, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. People see real estate as just an asset. I'm buying a couple of buildings. I'm going to landlord them. No.
It's a business.
You start that way, but when you get to a certain point, which hopefully you all will, because that's why you're getting into this business. It's the scalability factor. Once you get to 60, 70, 80 units, it gets beautiful because you can start hiring people to do certain tasks that you don't want. And then your focus in multifamily or in any real estate, as far as I'm concerned, there's two things. You're sourcing deals and you're sourcing capital. Those are the two highest and top priorities. And then obviously running the business, but you can have people helping you that. But if you're at the helm of that and you can get enough investors on your plate and you can start getting deal flow, you put two of those together, that's how you grow this business.
So Gino, if there's somebody listening to this and they're like, okay, well, where do I start in determining what my value is? What, I mean, you guys have an entire mentorship program and stuff, which I want to dive into in just a minute. But what advice could you share with that person that's trying to figure out what value they can offer? Is there any strategies, techniques, questions maybe that they can reflect on to help start generating this thought process?
I was fortunate back in 2014 that I went to become a life coach. And to me, that changed everything. I personally, if I'm listening to this right now, I would join a life coaching program and become a life coach, not to become a life coach, but to really work on personal development, to be able to ask yourself those tough questions, to become a better listener, to become more aware, to understand what's holding you back, the internal chatter in your mind, what's going on. And that changed everything for me. You can take those strengths finders tests and all, but as far as that goes, you really need to understand what your objectives are in life. Are you going to invest in real estate and multifamily as a side hustle, which is great? Hey, I've got a great job. I love my job. Can't dedicate too much time to it. Then you learn the business, but you invest as a limited partner. You invest as an LP. There's nothing wrong with that. 50,000, three, four deals. You're diversifying your money. You're still investing in real estate and getting the benefits. But if you want to get into it full time, there's going to have to come a time with how much time can you dedicate to the business? You need to dedicate time to learn the business. It's buy right, manage right, and finance right. And then obviously there's syndicate right, but you need to learn the business first. And then from there, what do you like to do? And what do you want to do? If you have enough capital, I don't think you have to syndicate deals. I think you could buy deals on your own. But if you're starting out with very limited capital, you have to understand that syndication is probably going to be one of those steps that you need to take early on. So understand that, but you really have to learn the business, because Mark Twain has a great quote. His quote says, it's not what you don't know that's going to get you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. And if you let that sink in for a second, we have so many of these assumptions that we think are right, but they're not right. I mean, like this whole syndication part where I need to make money and I got to wait before I go to a seminar. I got to wait to make money before I invest in education. Well, are you going to make the money and then invest in education? Or are you going to invest in education and then make the money? I think it's the latter, to be honest with you, because how are you going to do it? You don't know the strategies. You don't know the techniques. You don't have the network. I mean, these groups that we talk about, they're full of community members and people who are focused singularly on investing in these assets and bettering their lives. And they're all focused on personal growth. I mean, hopefully they are. That's what our community is all about. It's about personal growth, about accountability. And once you get into there, you start meeting other people who are like-minded, who are trying to achieve what you want to achieve. That's where you start becoming more successful, in my opinion.
So, Gino, what really inspired yours and Jake's decision to take what you were doing? And listen, this is something I really appreciate about what Jake and Gino are doing. They're active operators in the space. They're not just creating this curriculum of stuff that they found online. Like, they're sharing their real life experience with you. So, Gino, what was it that ultimately made you and Jake decide, like, hey, we need to do this and we need to get it out in front of more people? We need to share the good, the bad, the ugly that we experienced to help other people. What was that deciding factor?
Dallin, I like to refer to ourselves as the gurus. We're the gurus out there who are doing it. Last year, we closed 300 units, 333 units last year in 2023. When everyone was complaining, we had our best year ever. We averaged on our portfolio $275 profit per unit. We have a real business at over 1,800 units. You can do the math. What I experienced joining and creating Jake and Gino was the amount of crap that I learned for myself. How much better I became as an investor, learning from the community, doing bus tours on students' properties, learning the syndication model, getting into it. I would not have been able to do it. But if I have to distill it down as to why I started Jake and Gino, this is once again to the life coaching and to jumping into it. 9 years old, I remember going to the restaurant with my dad. I remember walking into the restaurant. First thing we'd see, loaves of bread there, bringing them into the kitchen. I remember my dad teaching me how to cook with a fillet knife. Now, the stuff nowadays, you couldn't do half of this stuff today, but I'm sitting on the fryer, working the fryer. I'm cleaning legs of veal with him. And I remember the way people respected and loved my dad. He was Vito, the chef in the kitchen. The admiration they had, the pride that they had, that he had with the work that he did and how he mentored me for all those years in the kitchen. And when he passed away in 2007, I really made this connection several months ago. I don't know why I didn't make it sooner. I had worked for him my whole adult life, and I felt as if there was a void there. I really started to hate the restaurant. So when I created Jake and Gino, I didn't understand that part of that was I wanted to carry on his legacy of being a mentor to others, of the joy that it brought me to teach other people how to do it. 120 people in our community have left their W-2 jobs and gone into multifamily full-time. There's over 75,000 units that our students have closed. That's over $5 billion. Now, I can't take all the credit, but I'd like to say that I had a little part in it. I like to be the Vito in the kitchen. Jake and Gino is my kitchen. It's just a different area, a different arena. It's a place where I wanted to excel. It's a place where I wanted to create impact. My dad created impact in the kitchen with feeding others and helping others and mentoring myself and all those chefs in the kitchen. And to me, it seems as if Jake and Gino was an extension of that.
Beautifully said, Gino. And I think anyone listening can really pick up and sense that passion and that energy you have on sharing your real life experience with them. And this obviously strikes a chord with me because multifamily is our space and we love it. And we hands down believe that it is the best real estate asset vehicle to be investing in. Mm-hmm. And we will defend that until the day we die. And that's not to say other asset classes aren't good, but looking long term, we believe multifamily is hands down the best. Gino, this has been absolutely incredible. Really appreciate just you coming on and sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your energy, your experience with our listeners. It has been a true blast. And as we wrap this up, there's four questions I like to ask every guest at the end of every show. But before we jump into that, Gino, what's next for Jake and Gino? What do you guys have coming down the pipeline? Like, what are some big moves that you guys have coming up?
We have two parcels of land, 67 and 70 acres. We're going to start building to rent. That's something where we bought 2 years ago and there weren't any deals. We decided to buy vacant land. So we pivoted, but we didn't want to pivot out of the multifamily space because the build to rent, basically, we're going to build them and we're going to rent them. So it's a very similar model, a little bit different. We want to average a 20% year over year rent growth. I mean, revenue growth. That's what we want to do with our portfolio. That's going to be difficult because on average, we're going to have to be closing between 200 and 400 units a year and really holding the majority of our portfolio. That's really the focus on the property side. And what I'd like to say is continuing to refine our buy rate criteria, buying newer assets, trying to level up the portfolio. Anything that we don't like in our portfolio, we can consider functionally obsolescent, selling it off and just buying something different, but just focusing on it and staying true. And as Jake likes to say, we want to become the Chick-fil-A of apartments. We really want to become the customer service. We want to be able to build something we're proud of. And it's a challenging thing, property management. It's a thankless job. It's a very difficult job. I'm really proud of the job that the team has done. And that's some of the things that we're focusing on.
Love it. Thank you for sharing. Well, Gino, first question, what is one absolute book recommendation for those looking to scale and further develop their millionaire mind?
Oh, let's go back to the psychology of money, understanding your relationship with money and understanding that what we're trying to achieve is not more money, but autonomy. And I think autonomy will bring you success and ultimate happiness.
Love it. And what has been one of your favorite quotes that you've embodied and lived by?
This is one from one of my mentors that we were actually coaching when we were scaling up our organization. Revenue is vanity, profit margin is sanity, and cash is king. Cash is not trash, my friends. Cash is king.
Well said. If there was one thing, Gino, you could share with fellow business owners that are beginning or simply trying to get to that next level, what would it be?
You're not doing anything wrong. It's really difficult. It can be really lonely. Go out and find your Jake because you are going to get punched in the nuts or punched in the face, maybe daily, maybe weekly, but you are. And it can be challenging. And if you're by yourself, sometimes you may lose that focus and you may quit. It's very difficult. I'm just blessed to have an amazing wife, to have an amazing partner. And I just know that I'm doing it for them probably more than I'm doing it for myself. I can't let them down. That's why I'm on the podcast with you right now. You don't see Jake next to me. Jake's running the property management. I'm doing the education side. So we work together in tandem. We don't make excuses. We don't call in sick. That's not what partners do. Find a partner and persevere with somebody.
Couldn't agree more. Business and life is not meant to be done alone. Find that right partner and just watch the magic happen. Well, Gino, how can our listeners learn more about you and the business or get connected with you?
Dallin, very simply, just go to jakeandgino.com. If they want to register for our monthly webinars, we do them live. jakeandgino.com/webinar. We post a monthly webinar talking about the different topics. And I'll leave the listeners with this. Now is the right time, believe it or not, to invest in real estate. Because when I started back in 2011, everyone was running for the exits. I just knew that I was desperate enough and I knew why I wanted to get into real estate. And right now, it feels a little bit like 2011. It feels like we're going back into a buyer's market. And when people are afraid, the market cycle is shifting. Brokers are actually calling you back. There are capital calls. There's distress in the market. They're not value adds anymore. They're distressed deals. That's when you want to get into it because you need to give yourself a few months of runway to make those relationships. So when the market does shift, you're there in time to take advantage of that.
100%. Well said. Gino, again, thank you so much for your time and coming on the show and just sharing with our listeners your story. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dallin.
And to our listener, remember, you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic. So go out there and earn your win for today, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Hope you got value from this episode of The Millionaire Mind, a journey into the mindset of successful business owners. If you want to get results, you've got to take the right steps to get there. Dallin hosts a free weekly educational webinar focused on teaching you how to start investing in apartments so you too can experience the benefits of real estate ownership without doing any of the heavy lifting. There you can gain insights, connect with others like you, and ask Dallin all your burning questions about how you can start owning apartments today. Go to themillionairemind.us. That link is in the show notes.